Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? This is Beyond the Numbers. As always, my name is Will, and with me is Ben.
Hello.
We are very glad to bring you another episode. We're going to give you a little bit of week five, maybe a little bit of the playoffs, as you know, the playoffs are still going on and the games are currently happening right now for the next round. But starting off with the Cubs and the Brewers took off on the Cubs today, sir.
They did.
That was, first inning was a nightmare for Boyd. He didn't even make it out. They had to take him out in the first inning.
Sir.
That was insanity for me because Boyd's literally one of their best pitchers. Pretty sure he's at the top of their list, at that list. He's one or two.
Yeah, he's definitely one of their better pitchers. But in the playoffs, no matter how good you are, like we said, the Brewers are definitely one of the most intimidating teams in the National League. So,
let me clarify this win real quick. With the Brewers had no home runs in this game. Not one person went yard. They had multiple hits, a lot of hits in this game on the Brewers side. None of them went yard. All of the Cubs' points, all three of them, came from home runs.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, being able to go yard is going to make all the difference in this series, I think. And
Maybe.
Depending on who's tomorrow's pitcher, it might get darker for the Brewers than what meets the eye. If there's a righty coming out there, you know, ill-experienced.
Game two is going to be on Monday for the National League. So the American League will have game twos tomorrow, and the National League will have game twos on Monday. So we probably won't know who the Brewers are going to roll with until Monday or possibly late tomorrow night.
Whoever they use, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to go like that for game two. I think the Cubs make this way more of a series. The Brewers, while they are good, they have their problems just as much as we know. So,
well, my other thing with that, and I mean it, kind of springboards off of sports in general. Everybody has their problems. That's never the question. The question is, who overcomes their problems more, and the Brewers or the Cubs? I would say I would take the Brewers to overcome their issues more so than that of the Cubs.
I like the Cubs for a great reason, but I think the Brewers can take this series. I mean, it's not like the Cubs are elite and they're going to have – I'm just saying that the next game is bound to have way more setbacks for the Brewers than what I think game one tells.
Well, I think the Cubs are going to win at least one. I'm not going to say that I don't believe that. I mean, Peralta's a stellar pitcher, in my opinion, at least when it. So, I mean, yeah, honestly, he got the win as he probably should have. And let's be clear, the Brewers are the better team. I mean, that's why they had the first round off instead of having to play in the wild card. It makes sense to start off with a win whenever the Cubs had to go to three games to get into the divisional round. So it makes sense. What happens after this is up in the air, but that first game usually seems to go to the better team for good reason.
Okay, I'll agree for right now, but I'm gonna reserve my judgment for game two.
Well, you know, I don't want to jump too much here, but same thing with Toronto and New York right now. I mean, yeah, the game's not over. I mean, they're in the bottom of the seventh, but the Blue Jays are up 3-1. Granted, we both know the Yanks can definitely turn that around in a blink of an eye. They can go a yard all day. But again, the better team.
Not going to.
Well, again, though, the better team in this situation being the Blue Jays, the record, their standing in the playoffs proves that. In regards to how they came into the playoffs, they are winning currently game one. We have the Phillies and the Dodgers playing. It's obviously 0-0 because they're in warmups. But, you know, same thing. We'll have Detroit and Seattle tonight. I predict that the Phillies take game one against the Dodgers. I predict the Blue Jays take against the Yanks. And I would project the Mariners to beat the Tigers in game one. It just makes sense. Because it's game one. You're a fresh, rested team. You've seen what the game plan for the other teams are. So you have an idea and you're prepared for it. You're mentally psyched up. You come in, you just know you got to light it up. And no disrespect to the Dodgers, considering, you know, the Reds were the only team to get swept in the wild card round from both sides. At the end of the day, game one is the Phillies to take. Just like it's the Blue Jays to take and the Mariners to take and the Brewers, who did in a very good fashion, take. And the Dodgers could win the rest of the series, and it'd be logical. But game one almost always feels to me like it's in baseball is going to go to the team who hadn't played in the wild card. It just makes sense.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Yankees actually shouldn't beat the Blue Jays at all in this.
I agree.
In this series. I'm pretty sure.
Well, they get one.
No. I'm saying that they shouldn't beat them at all. I'm going to go ahead and stand with my gut because the Yankees are not like that at all. They just aren't. And for good reason, I feel like that if we put the Yankees and the Blue Jays side by side right now, they've had a better year. So I'm going to go ahead and say that the Blue Jays take on the Yankees in this series.
Unless something happens
to where I get proven wrong, you know.
I just want to look it up.
Like you said, it's the Yankees. They could always do something different.
I just want to look at the stats between the Yanks and the Blue Jays here. I'm going to pull up their stats on the year. Okay. See, here we go. I hate how ESPN changes everything. Whenever you go into the playoffs, they tend to adjust how the stats line out. Okay, so I was just trying to get an actual better understanding of the two teams. So I'm going to look at that real quick, but I'm just a little bit curious. Just looking at the averages, not just even for them two. I'm just curious to see where the Yankees really honestly come in at here. Batting leaders, ironically enough, Aaron Judge is not currently number one in batting for the postseason. This is for American League. I'm only looking at American League. Corey Splitter is definitely the currently the best pitching leader for many good reasons. He had a very impressive game there against the Red Sox. That was phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot we could get into here, but like honestly, you don't have any really hardly any of the Yankees. I mean, yeah, just looking through, there's a few, but like Aaron Judge ain't number one. I mean, Baez is number one with hits. Even Story had 5 coming in with Boston. Strikeouts, Skubal's got more than Schlittler did. I mean, well, it's kind of understandable, though. But
Skubal got the pitch all the way up into that last. Yeah. I don't like it. They cheated.
I
stand on business. They cheated.
The reality of it is when I'm looking at a lot of these standings in regards to the postseason currently, I'm not seeing anything that crazy to me that would tell me that I see anything that would make the Yankees by any means better, you know, as a team. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you on it. I think honestly the Tigers have no reason to win, but they like to do a little something sometimes. Boston, I think, was obvious as much as I hate it, but I don't know. I agree with you as much as I want to think that the Yankees should be able to take on the Mariners. I just don't see enough here to really make me feel confident that they are able to do it. And I mean, after all, ESPN does predict the Mariners to be the winner. Over under is 7 runs on that. So crazy to me.
Yeah. That 7 runs is a little bit wild just because of who the Tigers are actually using, you know. And also Kirby. Kirby is not he's not the person that I would expect to get like.
Wait, why am I talking about the Tigers and the Mariners, sir? I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be on the Blue Jays. I don't know. My brain went somewhere else.
Yeah, I thought I heard you say the Mariners.
I did. I apologize. I definitely misread what I was looking at here. I was looking at the wrong the wrong thing. Although I do agree with you. The Tigers should not beat the Mariners. I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong game. So, looking at the Yanks and the Blue Jays, of course, again, you just can tell that, I mean, it's 6-1. It's bottom of the 7th. They've been doing a lot better. They've been a lot cleaner. I mean, Aaron Judge is only 1 of 3. Chisholm, McMahon, Volpe, Wells, they're all 1 of 3, but there's a lot of 0-for-2 and a lot of 0-for-3 up here. I just, when I look at the Blue Jays, I see more complete players. They have more people that are hitting, even if it's not a lot. Pitching. Pitching has definitely not been great for the Yankees. You know, not that I'm going to say Gill is a terrible pitcher, but honestly, he's not their best pitcher to start. But it makes sense when you're coming into it, you want to probably go ahead and if you're going to drop a game, you're going to drop game one and save your better pitchers for later. But I don't know.
All right. moving on. Speaking of the over and unders for the over and under for the Tigers and the Mariners is 6-5. That's insane.
Yep.
I don't see how this doesn't go over 6-5. If we're talking parlay-wise, I feel like I should just put this whole 100 that I just won off of base hits on this 6-5.
Honestly, the Mariners should win this game. I don't know how the over-under is going to play out, but the Mariners have won 4 of their 6 meetings this year between them and the Tigers. And honestly, my biggest concern for the Tigers in this is going to be if they can get something going for consistency's sake. The Mariners, they've been relatively consistent all year. I haven't seen a lot of times where they went down in that. Now, granted, I haven't followed the Mariners a whole lot until later into the year, but I do believe that they are one of the more consistent teams. And honestly, I slept on them at the beginning of the year. I would have never thought the Mariners would have ended up in the playoffs. Definitely not getting the first round by being at home. It's crazy to me. But hey, I gotta give them props. They've done something. They've done something with something. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, moving on. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. My Dodgers are definitely going to take on the Phillies. I hate the fact that they're such an underdog tonight, but it's okay. We love being slept on. And I feel like the only reason that we're an underdog tonight is because they don't think that Shohei has what it takes, even though the bullpen is what gave up Shohei's win last time, by the way. Like, it wasn't a Shohei deficit, you know?
Right.
Shohei he didn't give up five innings, he didn't give up one hit, you know? And then the bullpen came in, and of course, they came in entirely too early. The Dodgers always make that fatal mistake. But I think they've learned from it during this playoff, and I think we see something completely different as we proceed for this series tonight.
I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. I want the Phillies to win just because I wanted to feel that sweet revenge. But, you know, it is what it is.
You don't deserve that revenge, sir.
Well,
we did nothing wrong. We did exactly what we were supposed to do.
You swept us. That, to me, is wrong.
That is exactly what we were supposed to do. The Reds should have never been there. Me and you both know that. It's okay.
Yeah,
no, I know it's your team, but you know, just like I know, that they were never supposed to be there.
Yeah, but the Mets gave
up. Not even as a joke.
You know what? They came in and they did play like a joke, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and let's be clear. The Mets gave it up, but the Reds still shouldn't have.
Honestly, we almost blew that. Honestly, we could have dropped it to the Mets and still gave the Mets the chance. It probably would have ended the same, but it is.
I'm gonna call it how I see it, and how I see it is the Reds should have never been there. Period. Point blank. Especially not against the Dodgers. You were bound to drown, and it was a sight to see as a Dodgers fan.
That is one problem to go up against the Dodgers in the wild card. Like, it's unfortunate. Like, honestly, the Dodgers fell to the wild card, which was definitely our demise. So I can't say that it would have been different if we would have played somebody else, but maybe. Who knows? It could have been much different. But it is what it is. I'm not going to make any more of a fuss on them, because at the end of the day, the Reds do what the Reds do, and they love to disappoint whenever it matters most. Terry Francona is a great leader. We got to do something. We got to do something to get somebody in there who's hungry enough to actually win these games. I love Sal Stewart, him coming in, getting a couple of good games in under his belt. I think is going to make a huge difference for him next year with the Reds. Noelvi Marte, I think he's going to have a phenomenal year next year, too. Honestly, let's trade Ellie. That might seem like a wild take, but honestly, I think anybody who's a legitimate fan of the Reds would not disagree. Ellie is a huge problem, I think, in Cincinnati, because as good as he can be, he isn't. And for every time he's good, he still falls apart. Lux, Steer, Friedel, you know, McClain, Stevenson, any of them, I would take a lot of them over Ellie at this point. Frankly, I think Ellie's been getting a good break, continuously being able to play and continuously getting to be in that rotation and never being sent back down like, dude, you need to step up, shape up, or as you like to say, get packed out. That's what I want
to
see happen.
Love to hear it. I love to hear it, sir. And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The Reds have way too much potential to actually play the way that they do. So, you know. Moving on, that's all we got for the MLB. There's not really too much to talk about there until we know exactly what's going on for the next part of the series. For week five, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
So until these games settle tonight, we're not even going to really have a true way to get an idea. I mean, we only know about the Brewers. That's it. I mean, we know that the Blue Jays are probably going to wipe out the Tigers here. I'm sorry, the Yankees. But, yeah. You're right. Just nothing else to talk about.
All right. Moving on to week five for the NFL. I have a couple of thoughts and feelings about a few of these games, but not too many. There's not too much really to speak about. The week five is bound to be just as quiet as week four was. But
potentially, I think there's a few good games, but yeah, I think it'll actually be worse. I think the matchups this week are problematic. I mean, you can't have every week a clean week of good matchups where it's all just brutal, hardcore football. I think week five is the week for things to kind of smooth out. Some of the more controversial and interesting teams right now are on their bye weeks. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Atlanta. You know, it's there's something to say for a quiet week. And sometimes we need a quiet week. I don't know about you. Football is extreme sometimes, right? Like, you get these games that you just know everybody's got to watch. There's games that upset the momentum of not only just the teams playing, but the rest of the league around them. You week five is still early, but we are a couple of weeks away from that midpoint where we start to see things starting to shape up a little bit for the future of the season. Week five is a good week for things to quiet down, get some teams that need to fix some stuff. Good matchup, maybe a chance, like, for example, the Chiefs and the Jaguars. For what it's worth, the Chiefs shouldn't have an issue with the Jaguars, and the Jaguars shouldn't be 3-1. This is a good chance for the Chiefs to figure it out, really keep their momentum going, get some things set in stone for the rest of their year. This is a chance for the Jaguars to do the same thing. As much as I don't like to see the Jags doing much of anything, because I don't know. I don't like the Jaguars. I don't like Trevor Lawrence. Maybe that's my problem. But there's some of these games that I think are a big deal, even for the teams that are doing poorly. This is a chance, like for the Texans and the Ravens. It's a chance for them to take a moment and work on some of their weaknesses and see if they can fix it.
I think when it comes to this week, we are going to, when we go to look at who's going to be scoring and who's going to actually make a difference in the games, I think it's going to be a little bit different, if you know what I'm saying. I'm thinking we're going to see some different targets. We're going to see some different plays. I don't care what anybody says. If the Eagles don't play a different way, they're definitely going to start getting packed up. There's no way that they're going to keep on playing the way that they're playing and stay undefeated. And I think the Broncos are just the team that are going to show them exactly why you can't play them that way. I also think that the Raiders are going to be showing us something completely different this week. They may not be able to do too much about what the Colts are able to do with Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman and Daniel Jones, even though I truly believe he's gotten lucky over these past few weeks. I don't think they're going to actually have that type of luck. You know, okay. I'm thinking that the Raiders are going to be showing them something a little bit different this week.
I mean, I'd love to see it. this is definitely a chance for the Raiders to get some sort of rhythm. Geno needs to get himself under control. Pete Carroll, actually, let me not blame Geno. Let me really lay this blame where I think it lays for the Raiders, and that's with Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll is used to being an excellent coach that benefited from some of the best rosters, especially on defense, and many times offensively, especially earlier on in Seattle. Like in the, over the last 10 years, he's had some really, really, really good rosters. So it's not been hard to do the work that, you know, but he's coming to a team in Oakland who is in a rebuild, a full-scale rebuild. Derek Carr ain't there no more. They've got, you know, Jacobs is gone. You know, obviously he's in Green Bay. They don't have Davante Adams. They don't have the best roster, and they do not. No disrespect to Brock Bowers or anyone else on the Raiders, but they do not have a complete team. Genty is going to be a phenomenal running back if he can stay healthy and they use him properly. I think he'll be a great running back for years to come. But Geno needs to be replaced. They need to find themselves a top-tier quarterback who is going to be able to come into the league and absolutely be a dominant force. That's what they need, and they need a true, really, really good receiving core. Their defense is respectable enough, but when your offense isn't getting it done for you and turning the ball over as much as the Raiders have, it is hard for a defense to do a lot whenever you're having to play too much. You need a break here and there.
I agree, but I'm gonna stand firm with my pick for this week. This week I'm taking the Raiders over the Colts.
It's definitely a good week for them to get a win. I'm with you on that. I mean, it's a good week for the Dolphins to get a win. I mean, this is their chance to come in, find out what it's gonna be like without Tyreek. Honestly, in my opinion, they just really need to get Jalen Waddle going. They need to have him going rampant. They need to just turn him into the number one that he is. That man has been overshadowed by Tyreek's image, by his popularity. Jalen Waddle is truly, he was there before Tyreek, and he's going to be there probably after Tyreek. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't think Tyreek going to be in the league much longer after this. He has taken a beating, not just this year, but year after year. That boy was only good in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes was throwing the ball 40 yards, 50 yards, 60 yards down the field to him. That was his greatest asset for both of them. It was his greatest asset as a receiver to have a quarterback who can launch, and then for a quarterback who can launch down the field to a receiver who's going to beat a defender. Tyreek is not that same guy, and they try to use him like he is, and he's still fast. He's still got good hands, but he ain't the same. The injuries have slowed him down, and this one is going to take a toll, I think. Jalen Waddle, this is probably his team now as a receiver. I think this is going to be his team. I think Tua is going to have to rely on him, and I think they're going to have to work in some special looks to try to make sure that Waddle is getting open. They're going to have to really spread the ball around more. Achane is going to have to really get running on the ground. I know they like to use him whenever they go up. So that's one thing we'll probably see in Carolina. If they get up on top of him and they get ahead decent amount, we're not going to see Tua throwing it a lot. They're going to hand the ball off, which is logical. You want to burn some clock, make sure you stay ahead. But again, this is another one of those games where the Panthers – the Panthers look lost, and Bryce Young is wasted talent. I've said it before. I'll say it again. He is on the worst team for him to be on. They do not protect him. They do not help him. Chuba's hurt, so he doesn't even have his best running back. That means Dowdle is probably going to take a lot of those snaps. He's not a great running back. So this isn't a game for Carolina to figure out their problems. They should have already figured them out. This is a game for Miami to figure out what they need to do to continue to get better. As you said in prior episodes, they've not lost their games poorly. This is a situation where if they lose this game to Carolina, they have a lot more problems than we realized. If they beat them, whether it's close or not, doesn't matter. That will be a good step for them to move forward this year, and that could get a little fire under them. And I think, and it may be controversial, but I think Tyreek being out is going to help them. And the reason I say this, quarterbacks that look a little too much towards certain receivers tend to miss opportunities with everybody else. Tyreek is one of those receivers that draws so much attention. And Waddle's a really good receiver. And yes, he's had some decent games this year, even across from Tyreek. And last year, he's had some really good games. This will allow him, I think, to fully open up and evolve. And I think if Tua's smart, Tua's going to be able to take advantage of this and make a lot of stuff happen with him. And I think that connection is going to be crazy.
I agree to a certain extent. I think Tua spreads the ball around as best as he can. Tyreek is a target. He's always a target because he makes stuff happen. But the Dolphins definitely should take this game. There's no reason why they shouldn't. It's not like the Panthers are better than the Dolphins. They're missing Chuba for the week.
Bryce Young's going to be on the ground a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty much nothing to stop the loss. And I think that they cover their spread quite nicely in this one.
I have a question for you about the Panthers. Why did they think it was better to ship Thielen out and get Hunter Renfrow? Why?
I do not know, sir. That was one of the moves that baffled me too, but I couldn't answer it for you. You know, why does a sucky team do sucky things?
Well, there's one reason that they do sucky things typically, most of which is they tend to want to get themselves in position to get themselves another solid player in the draft. You know, you're coming in and you're going to be lucky to hit 500 on the season. Well, I guess not really 500 now. But, you know, coming in about half your wins or something, like, it's kind of useless, to be entirely honest, to do nothing. Like, it's better to do nothing than it is to do something, but know you're still going to fail. Because if you're coming in, if you're the Panthers right now, and I give the Miami a very good chance they could turn their season around. But I mean, if you're Miami, if you're Cleveland, if you're Carolina, if you're any of the teams that are losing, you're below 500 on the season at this point, you start looking at your division and you start wondering, okay, am I going to have a shot of coming back in this? Am I too far down to where I can't bounce back? If so, then you've got to ask yourself the question, do you start wondering, okay, where do you draw the line of, okay, now I need to start thinking about draft positioning? You know, it's one of the things that's really hard to see. I think it's one of the reasons we see the Saints doing what the Saints are doing. To be entirely honest, I think this is one of the reasons why the Saints haven't even really tried to make any major changes so far this year with all their losses. They know that they're not going to win their division. They know that the competition is going to be too much, and their best bet is to position themselves the best way they can to secure a very, very good draft pick in the first round. So Panthers, if they're smart, they're not coming back in their division. It's not happening. And they need to put two and two together, and that's probably what I think we're going to see happen. Cleveland, well, actually, I say this carefully, but Cleveland actually legitimately could have a shot at coming back if they can put it together. Because, I mean, to be brutally honest, the only team in that division that's doing anything right now is Pittsburgh. And, well, Baltimore has all the workings to do it when they're healthy, but they aren't. And Cincinnati is, you know, RIP Joe Burrow season, but, you know, RIP Jamar Chase's season, actually. But yeah, no, that's a rough setup. There's just some teams in here like the Panthers. Might be time to call it on the season and just figure out how many wins you want to shoot for and how many good games you want to blow in the end, just so you ensure you get a good position.
I can understand that logic, but of course, once again, a sucky team's gonna do what a sucky team's gonna do.
Every time.
Just go for it every time. Every
time. You know, the funny part is whenever you get a couple of sucky teams and they all are fighting for that first pick, and then you put two of them up against each other. It's one of my favorite things to watch. You look at it and they're like, who takes this? Who's gonna win this embarrassment of a game? And those are sometimes the most entertaining matchups because they're some of the best defensive games, I declare. Some of the best defensive games in the world because both offenses are terrified to succeed because, well, they may steal the number one from us. But all jokes aside, I don't think Miami's going to have a problem with them. I think Miami's going to take it to them, and I think they're going to figure some stuff out. And I think next week's going to be a good week for Miami.
Completely agree, sir. I think every week's going to be a good week for my Dolphins, though, so I'm going to keep my mind to a minimum.
Let's not be delusional.
And I could tell you the same thing about the Packers or the Reds. Or any other team you really support. You really support a lot of bad teams. You know that, right? Like,
I disagree, sir. I disagree. Look, you are talking about the Dolphins right now, who are a 1-3 team, who if we're being realists here, they've lost one of their key receivers. The running game is not it right now. If we're being honest, your all's defense is the only decent thing you guys have. CTE favored Tua? Bro, he's going to get a concussion here soon. The man can't help it. He's not Cam. He's not Cam Scatabo. He don't eat concussions for breakfast. Concussions eat him for breakfast. Okay? So, I know you on this whole thing of the Dolphins are going to have a good year. Sir, they're not. They may turn it around and have a decent year, but I doubt they hit more than 9 wins.
We will see about that, sir.
Indeed, we will. And Buffalo will ensure that Miami does not go far.
Whatever. Moving on. I kind of wanted to get into the Cowboys and Jets as well. I think this is actually going to be a good game. If you don't got George Pickens and Garrett Wilson as a touchdown scorer, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I do not have Garrett Wilson as a touchdown scorer.
Why is that, sir?
Dallas's defense may not be the best right now, but I have a feeling they're going to take away Garrett Wilson. Anybody knows. You just take Garrett Wilson away. Who else are they really going to throw to? And honestly, I'm not going to say that Dallas can necessarily lock him up entirely, but if we look at the Jets receiving core, they don't got Alan Lazard. Okay. Alan Lazard has a touchdown and he's only caught the ball 3 times. Ruckert has caught the ball 4 times. He has a touchdown. Nobody else but Garrett Wilson has touchdowns. 27 catches, 311 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's, while that would be okay in and of itself, they're going to go up against a Dallas team who is, it's going to go one of two ways. Either Dallas is going to fall apart or Dallas is going to lock down and they're going to play and they're going to make the Jets run. I mean, I believe Justin Fields is coming back out for this game, so he'll be playing. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. But we know Fields can scramble, and he loves to do it. They got Breece Hall. They got Allen. I mean, they're not a team that I'm going to sit here and say we should sleep on. After all, they got 4 rushing touchdowns compared to 5 passing touchdowns. And really, really, the record is reflective of a team that hasn't figured out its identity. But when your quarterback gets hurt in what, week 2 in concussion protocol, you start to struggle because then, you know, you're looking at Tyrod Taylor to come out here and produce. And he's thrown 3 touchdowns. You know, he's done pretty well and threw 1 pick. Tyrod Taylor is a good stand-in for a week or two. He'll get you a little bit. But Justin Fields, that man's he's a different type of he's a different type of guy. He's got more rushing touchdowns than he does passing. He's got 5 of the team's 9 touchdowns. 2 passing, 3 rushing. They're going to run that ball against Dallas because Dallas's run defense right now is pretty soft.
I think that Dallas takes this one, honestly, quite easily, but I think that...
The only reason I don't agree with you on easily, I think I agree with you that they take it. But the reason I don't think they take it easily, again, this is not a complete and healthy defense that can really get after a quarterback. And if they do get after a quarterback, mind you, the last game they played was against Green Bay and both teams gave up 40. So both defenses were a problem. They do not get after quarterbacks enough. And when they do, you take a guy like Justin Fields, he's really good at taking off. They're going to struggle. Because the thing that really I think is problematic is really exactly what it is, their defense.
Yeah, but once again, I'm going to go ahead and stick to my guns because the Jets have a lot of problems, and it's more than just defense when it comes to the Jets. Now, I have a lot of issues with the Cowboys myself, but I will say that they have been way more impressive this year than they were last year, and if they continue to ride this little coaster that they're on, I don't see why they wouldn't take anything. Other than that, I don't really have too much go into for the NFL anymore. Like I said, this quiet week is not impressive to me, but I will say that I am looking forward to some good parlays. If you want to go for a running back parlay this week or a wide receiver parlay this week, this is definitely the week to do so. All of these most of the matchups are mismatchups. And you could probably make some good money out there.
Definitely agree. I'm going to be doing some parlays. There's a couple really nice-looking games. I mean, if we want to be honest, I think Tampa Bay and Seattle, Detroit. I think Detroit's definitely going to be a good one to pick. I would definitely make a same-game parlay just on Detroit alone. Off to have at least one, or probably two, really, for being honest, 2 touchdowns through the air. I'm going to take Gibbs and or Montgomery for one. Probably would take Montgomery, to be honest, because I think he definitely gets more of those looks. I would definitely take Detroit. The Tampa Bay Seattle one, I'm curious how that's going to go, but I think I would still throw a parlay out there. I don't know if I'd focus on the rushing game because really Seattle can definitely get it done, but it's going to be really hard to pick between Charbonnet and Walker. I think the Dallas one, you can definitely put a bet on there for George Pickens to get one.
Yeah, he's just such a target, and he always just tends to get his hands on that ball.
So I'd take Denver, I'd take Sutton to get a touchdown, to be honest, because let's be clear, Denver's going to have to succeed through the air. They're going to absolutely have to. I would definitely say I'd take Michael Pittman to get one in Indianapolis. I would feel confident taking one for the Houston-Baltimore game. I don't know if I'd take rushing or passing there. The Chiefs, I would definitely steer clear of that game, but if we're going to pick one, I'd say that probably Hollywood's going to get himself a tutty. There's some really, really good ones here. I really think there are. I wouldn't mind taking Shakir from the Bills. I think it's going to be a throwdown of a game because those two always just are ugly with each other. It's always an ugly divisional game. But there are some games that I think a lot of people would want to throw a bet on and I would steer clear from. One is the Commanders and Chargers. I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole just because Jaden Daniels is back and we don't know how that's going to look. I would probably avoid the Giants and the Saints because, let's be honest, Unless you're betting on Cam Scadabo to get a concussion, I wouldn't bet on anything with them two. Minnesota and Cleveland, I would feel confident taking a couple of little bets on that game. Fairly confident that the Vikings are going to win. But let's be clear, the Browns defense is not shabby. They are mean, and Carson Wentz is going to feel some pressure. I wouldn't necessarily be too shy and away from Miami and Carolina. Primarily Bryce Young to get sacked like 12 times. But I would definitely say Waddle's going to get a touchdown, maybe two, to be honest. Tennessee and Arizona, don't touch it. Wouldn't touch it. Can't touch it. Have no desire for any of it. Stay away from it. Marvin Harrison Jr., don't care. Don't care how good he is. Tennessee is terrible. Don't care. Stay away from that game because it's a trap. And if anything, I just wouldn't touch it.
Well, you guys, Ben is the skittish one out of us. And as you know, I've been parlaying all weekend just for this week five mess. So I'm going to give you all a little insight into what I got going on for this weekend. I'm going to give you one that is a little bit more sane and then one that's, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. I have Jordan Addison for 50 plus receiving yards. Brock Bowers for 40. I have Jake Ferguson for 40. I have Cam Scadabo for 60 plus rushing yards. Nico Collins for 60 plus receiving. Trey McBride for 50 plus. I have Quentin Johnston for 50 plus, and I have Khalil Shakir for 50 plus. Now, $4 on that pays out $283. I had a $4 bonus bet. So, you know, I had to throw that on there. But it's a little bit more sane, and if you like it, you know, you could always follow it. But that's how I see these few games going.
Okay. All right. Well,
the more insane one, if you guys want to try to make some money, I always got to have something in like this. It's just my thing. $5 pays $19,000. We have Jordan Addison as an anytime touchdown scorer. We also have Darren Waller to get back in that end zone this weekend, because if it's not going to be Jalen Waddle, it'll definitely be Waller one more time. We have Brock Bowers to get in that end zone. I think this is finally his week to do so. If anybody's going to get one through the air, let it be Bowers.
Hey, I'm going to let you go off for a sec. I got to make a phone call. So you talk all your parlays for a minute.
I also have Marvin Mims as an anytime touchdown scorer. If I believe that the Eagles are going to have a hard time stopping the Broncos this week. I think the Broncos are finally finding their footing for this week. So Marvin Mims, he's always a good target because Cortland Sutton is always bogged down. Rashid Shaheed against the Giants. The Giants took a nice little shot last week losing Malik Nabers. So I think it affects a lot of that defense, even though he was an offensive player. I think it affects that shot that they take, losing him, is going to affect a lot of their team aspect. So we're going to put in Rashid Shaheed to be one of the receivers that benefits from that. And the one that I find the most scary is Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders for the Dallas Cowboys is a risk, but it's a risk worth taking. You know, George Pickens, Jake Ferguson, all the people that he could target. Sanders is also one of those guys that he'll get his touches. So, like I said, $5 wins $19,000, you guys, and that is my most riskiest one, to say the least. I've had a couple of little wins over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I'm accepting a couple of things that I wouldn't normally put on a parlay. I also have one that is, I wouldn't say it's risky. It's a running back parlay, all day running back parlay. If these guys are going to get scoring, then I believe these guys. We have Devon Achane, Jordan Mason, Ashton Jeanty, Javonte Williams, Cam Scatapo.
Yes, sir. The CTE machine.
David Montgomery. Go ahead, Seth. Go ahead.
I love me some Cam Scatapo. That man's going to be a scattered bowl of brain soup, but I love it.
That is very sick to say. I'm just letting you know.
I'm a very demented individual, I think, but I love it.
I also have Amarion Hampton and James Cook to finish off that all-day parlay. $10 went $700. This is another nice one that I really like. Like I said, it's going to be real quiet. Receiving touchdowns are going to be few and far in between, I believe. So if you want to go for something a little bit, you know, just a little bit more in somebody in your wheelhouse, I'd go for that one. Also, yesterday's parlay or last episode's parlay for There's a Will and There's a Way, not official, but if you parlayed our picks, the 49ers won. I remember I told you guys $10 pays out $1,600, so I hope you guys put that in because the rest of the game, that the 49ers was the riskiest one, y'all. That was the only one that was, they might not do it. At plus 350 odds, we killed that.
Ugh.
We definitely smashed that, and we're going to start it back off with the Raiders and the Broncos for the 1 o'clock games at plus 270 and plus 164 odds. If you locked it in, be prepared to make some money. I'll have a few more going in for tonight. I haven't actually had the time to build. I've been real busy, but for right now, you guys have enough to where anything that you put on it, it'll make you some money now. Anything that you put on. I believe for that parlay that we did last week, I put a $2 bonus bet on it. Something small, and it's definitely going to do numbers.
Hey, I like it.
Well, I love it, sir. I love it. I love it. I love it. The Blue Jays have officially taken off on the Yankees, by the way. It's 10-1.
Yeah, I seen that. I was feeling some type of good about it, though. I love to see it. I really do.
Yeah, I'm mad. I had Kirk on a home run parlay, but I had Hap on one too, but I had him on two separate ones. So officially lost both of those parlays just because I didn't put them together the right way. But as my parlayers know, that's just how the game goes. Another day, another parlay. Right?
You know, I think it's fun with parlays, you know, but I think the reason that I like it is because I love, that's what I love about sports. You know, it's one of those things where no matter what you do, you just can't help, but it's always a chance. Everything you do, every gamble you take, it's a risk. And it feels so good. It feels so good. Whenever you're watching your team, you never know what's going to happen. It just, there's something that feels so good about it.
Completely agreed, sir. Well, you guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. That's all we have for today. as always, you can let us know what you think about this episode and things that you want to know about on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok. I believe Ben has a Twitter page that you guys can go and look for some of our content. Just make sure that you guys follow us and keep going, because we're not going to stop as long as you guys keep going. Thank you. Do you have anything else, Ben?
No, sir.
Well, with that being said, let's get back to the bread. Peace.